Hello, and welcome to another Untitled Project episode on the College Crosscast Network. I'm your host, Seif Fakadu, and my guest for the show is friend of the blog and all-around good guy, Jim Simmons. Jim, what's good, kid? How are you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I was pretty excited for this one. Two lawyers, we finally got to get rid of all the riffraff. We get to actually have a cultured conversation. No, I'm just kidding. I love everybody, but I'm really excited to talk to you.
Sounds good, man. I'm pumped. Thanks for having me on.
No, of course. We definitely wanted to chat with you. And I always think like this is always kind of funny. Like this probably is our first time, besides that one pod we did for the fantasy lacrosse. First time really talking to each other outside of DM. So it should be fun for everybody. So I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really excited to get off Twitter for a minute.
No, I really enjoy – I've listened to some of the Choi Nuez pods where finally they give some lacrosse talk and then you get on. So pretty excited to actually talk to you as well. So,
yeah, every once in a while we're allowed to have a lacrosse podcast on that.
And we all know you guys are – lacrosse is really what Syracuse is about. So it's honestly, it's preposterous that you're not on at least once a week. So,
that's
but,
right.
But we show you love. So, I guess first thing we want to talk about is just get to know you a little bit. So not to go too inquisitive, but like, you know, let's start out like where are you originally from? And then, you know, we'll go from there.
I'm actually from Boston originally. Spent my entire childhood and teenage years there, and then went off to Syracuse for 4 years. Came back home and worked, and somehow ended up back up there in that snowy hell for another 3 years for law school, and then decided I'd had enough of the snow, and I moved down to Virginia.
I'm loving the R's rolling. This is real Boston stuff right now.
the first time I dropped an R in class, and there was a dead. It was really educational for me.
Like, where are you from, son? Like,
yeah, that's right. Every guy in there was like, "What an idiot!" And every girl's like, "Oh, yeah."
So you were born in Boston area, you said, right? Or just like right outside the city? I just want to give everybody like a kind of like where, what town exactly?
I grew up in Newton and then moved a couple of times. I pretty much grew up within 20 minutes of Fenway my entire life. So,
oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah, I see you sometimes give a little love to Tennessee Volunteers, or maybe that's more ribbing. I didn't know if there was some connection to the Volunteer State, or is that just you just like you know, like their football team or something?
Yeah, you know, my dad's side, I'm the only one born above the Mason-Dixon line, so they're all from Tennessee, and they went there. My dad went there, and so I grew up as the only Peyton Manning fan in New England. You know, I had a poster of him growing up on my wall. And,
oh, God, that must have been great.
Took a lot of flack for it, I'll say that. But it's funny because I remember I was maybe 10 years old, and it was 1998, and it was Tennessee's national championship year, and they played Syracuse at the Carrier Dome that year for the opening game. And I remember I was watching it with my dad, and they cut into the Carrier Dome for the opening scene, and I was like, whoa, what is that? And he's like, that's the Carrier Dome. And from that moment, I wanted to go to Syracuse. So,
oh, wow. Yeah, that's a great origin story. Yeah, that was actually going to be the next question is, well, why did you pick Syracuse? Or, like, I guess you already answered it a little bit, or if you want to elaborate more.
Yeah, I was the youngest of a lot of cousins, and, you know, all of them – got asked the question constantly of where do you want to go to school? Where are you applying to? And I had to sit through a lot of that. And, you know, they always look at me and, you know, as a 12-year-old and said, where do you want to go to school? And it's, you know, Syracuse, of course, obviously. So yeah, it was basically about 8 years of just wanting to go there. And then somehow they let me in. I'm not sure exactly why that happened, but they let me in twice. So I was fine with that. And, you know, other than the snow, which you get used to after a while, it's just that seasonal depression that sets in and you don't know any other way. And other than that, I absolutely loved it up there. It was a great college experience and, you know, great college town for sure. I've actually spent more years in Syracuse, New York than any other home I've ever lived in. So
Oh, wow. Yeah, I wanted to ask. Like, I know Chris and Ryan always complain. I didn't know if their talk about the snow is overblown or is it sometimes gets really real over there.
Oh, yeah. Like, my freshman year, I remember, I think there was the county over, it was Oneida, I think it was, had like 11 feet in 7 days, something like that. And that was April, the end of April. The year before I got there, yeah, I heard stories of they had to pass out blankets at graduation day, and that's how cold it gets. But it's the length of it, you know. Like, you're in Halloween, and there's a threat of snow constantly, and it doesn't stop until mid-April usually. So it's not that – I mean, it snows a lot, but it's more just how long it lasts. It's crazy. But we did have half a snow day my freshman year, and then after that, I don't think we had one until my second year of law school. But it was a day off for Sandy, and Sandy came through, and it just like drizzled. And I think we're all a little embarrassed about that. So,
oh god, is this like the sword of Damocles hanging over your head from like October on? I guess
that's right. I mean, you gotta find something to do, and you know, everyone usually turns to just drinking, but. It's a fun place. You know, I ended up bartending and bouncing there, and you know, you spend your summers there and you get to know people, and not just the people in your class, especially during my law school time, but you know, you get to know some of the townies, and then you know, your college friends start calling you a townie, and then things get a little weird. But you know, it's a fantastic place, but I'm a little glad to be out.
Yeah, so I was gonna get into the undergrad. Yeah, so were you? Did you any clubs or a fraternity or anything, just to give people like a better sense of your time there?
I mean, you're talking to the Greek man of the year at the number one party school in America.
Oh, right on. I knew. Besides the law thing, I always knew I liked you, Jim. Which one were you? I was in SAE. Actually, I don't think I've ever said that before on the pod. Which fraternity were you in?
SAE was our neighbors, actually. I had some good guys over there. I was in AEPI, president of AEPI, and we are now officially off campus after getting a severe reprimand. So
it's like that phrase, you know, don't ask for whom the bell tolls because the bell tolls for thee, because every fraternity is going to get hit.
That's right. I told the kids coming after me, get to know the cops, get them on your side. But, you know, they didn't listen, so...
I mean, there is a part of me that doesn't, like, still doesn't understand. Like, I mean, I enjoyed my time for sure at Hopkins. So I'm not, like, poo-pooing having a good time. But, when I came back a couple of reunions, I would talk about the school, like kidding all the fraternity lives. And I was like, you guys are literally a walking, talking liability. Every moment, every single thing pretty much that goes on in that house, in any fraternity, it's, you know, it's troublesome for the school. So, of course, they're going to... come after you, but
of course. I did have a question for you about your Hopkins days, and this is, of course, you know, I have some friends who are up in Baltimore, and I love Baltimore, and it's a great town, and these are like real local kids, and a couple of them went there, and you know, most of them know a lot of Hopkins guys, and I was asking one of the girls, I said something about the lacrosse players being, you know, big men on campus without, you know, really any other Division I sports, I think. And the girl was like, yeah, it was such like a smart school that they were, you know, looked at a little bit like, you know, who the hell are these guys? Like, you know, they were kind of, I don't want to say prized, but like the smart kids did not look at them the way, you know, we probably look at the lacrosse players at Syracuse or the football players at Syracuse. Is that the case?
That is true. I mean, it's a little overblown in terms of like animosity. Like Adam's a good example. So Adam's actually friends with lacrosse players during his time. I knew some tangentially and stuff like that. They were always cool dudes. I never felt they were ostracized or anything. I mean, they definitely got taken care of. You know, they always had like the sickest rooms. They, you know, they always tried to like group them together. And I knew some kids who, like freshman year, they would have a suite and like three guys were lacrosse guys and my one boy wasn't. So, but they always said, you know, they're always cool and nice. And like, you know, it's I've always felt like they kind of gave us a little bit of some type of, you know, a little bit something special. Like, yeah, we're D3 and everything except for women's and men's lacrosse. But, like, you know, having them on campus, like I always thought, you know, when I was a at Hopkins, I, you know, used to go on Homewood Field or for games, and I'm like, oh, these are cool games, and I was like, oh man, I really wish, you know, if we were in the Big Ten, or, you know, Syracuse would always come, obviously, and that rivalry. But I was like, you know, I wish, like, we got, you know, leveled up a little bit, and you know, now we're here, now we made it. So.
Well, you guys got that 7-man football squad, right? Is that what it is?
Oh, I think they're maybe like club wise, but yeah, our team for like D3, they're pretty diesel. Chip Kelly, as I always shout out, used to coach there for like for one season. But coach, our football team's, you know, again, for just D3, but they're quite competitive. You know, win the Centennial Conference, I think, like 10 years in a row now. They're a pretty diesel team. But we do have an excellent Harry Potter squad, though. That's all those videos.
Well, I saw ours a few times out in the field, and they might be a match for yours, but I don't know.
So, during your time, let's go, like, favorite moment that you had as a Syracuse undergrad for athletic-wise. I was trying to figure out the exact years, but I think you were well past the 2003 championship, but you know, there were still some great teams between then and now, so I didn't know if you had even a football moment, you know, whatever was your favorite, or it doesn't have to be one.
Yeah, you know, my time span, it's pretty long there, so you know, for football, I still remember that West Virginia game 2011 when we just put a beat down on they were number 12 in the country, and put a beat down, and that was a good one, probably the best football moment I can remember. I also remember the time, I think it was 2006, we were playing Iowa, I think, and it was we had 9 plays on the goal line on offense, and they stuffed us every time. We were literally on the goal, and that was probably the worst moment when you realize, wow, this is a horrible team and it is not going anywhere. But, you know, we rushed the court a couple of times in basketball, but I think the coolest moment, you know, athletic, in terms of athletics while I was there, was it was my first game covering the team. And I was covering it for a Major League Lacrosse affiliate that is, they owned them and it's no longer in existence. It got merged, but I was covering it for them, and it was my first game. I was up in the box, and yeah, I didn't know etiquette. I didn't really know what was going on, but you know, I was just kind of getting through it, and the media area in the dome it's bad. And so there's 3 rows and there's a wall on either side. So you're kind of like cut off a little bit from seeing the full field if you're behind that second row. And so I was watching, I was on the 3rd row, and I was watching the TV on one of the walls to see a replay. And there was 2 guys, one on either side of me, older guys. I wasn't paying much attention to them. And I'm looking at this replay, and the guy on my left, like, I got this feeling, like, he kept looking over, like, thought I was looking at him, right? And I was like, the arrogance on this SOB to, like, really, to think I'm staring at him while I'm trying to, like, work here, and he's not doing anything. Neither one of them on either side, nothing out, no paper. Like, I had a feeling they weren't really media, but I hadn't gotten a good look at either one. And so I was like, you know, I just want to look at this guy just to make sure he knows I'm not staring at him, so you can see I'm moving my head around. And I look at the replay, and I turn my head towards him because he's staring at me again. my mouth dropped because it was Jim Boeheim. And I was like, oh, man, he's like literally inches away from me. And I lean over to my right because I'm going to, you know, nudge the guy on my right and kind of motion over to see, you know, look who's sitting next to me. And the guy on my right is Roy Simmons. I'm like, oh Jesus. Like, I'm literally the odd man out here.
that's a goat sandwich, for sure.
Yeah, that's right. You had Jim Boeheim, Jim Simmons, and Roy Simmons. So it was a nice trio there.
I didn't want to interrupt you, but I was thinking in my head, I was like, it would be funny if Roy was on the other side. Yeah.
So I was very much – I don't think I paid attention to the next 10 minutes, but that was the game. I think it was against Denver. Brian McGill's first game, and, God, he was putting hits on people, and you could really see, like, this kid's going to be a stud. It was a good lacrosse game. So that was probably my most memorable moment in terms of athletics while I was there, for sure.
Oh, that's a fantastic one. We're going to talk a little bit about Troy Nuez later, but how did you get into writing while you were an undergrad? I mean, before the Troy Nuez?
Yeah, so I originally I wanted to do sports management, and so I think it was my sophomore year, I just started sending out emails to like every conference and every school around me in Boston, and I interned that summer one day a week for Hockey East, which is, you know, BCBU, their conference, and 2 days a week at ECAC. So drove down to the Cape 2 days a week and, helped them out and just kind of compiled record books, did all the things, interns do. And then on Wednesday, I'd go to Wakefield for Hockey East and help them out with their media guide and started getting a little bit into writing. And, I volunteered for Hockey East going forward for a couple of years and got to, help manage some events and actually was a spotter for Frozen Fenway BU BC for the television station. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, I got to meet some cool people, Bob Ryan there, and it was fun. And the next summer I took that and I went and interned at Major League Lacrosse. And it was probably the most educational internship I have ever had outside of, my legal stuff. Their commissioner, I'm blanking on his name at the moment. I'm horrible with names, but it'll come to me at some point. He is, I know he catches a lot of flack for MLL, but.
Oh, gross. Yeah.
Exactly. He sat down every Monday with, I think there were four interns. And for like a couple of hours every Monday, he'd go through a different area of the sport and different area of the management of the league and like how you run things and just like kind of important lessons. And it was incredibly important to my professional development. I'll always be grateful for that. And while I was there, I did a lot of writing, and that's where I really like started to get into it. And my first interview, it was the week Bill Tierney made the switch from Princeton to Denver.
Oh, wow.
And I was his last call on his media day and at Denver, and I got onto the call and took 10 minutes with him. He was extraordinarily gracious, and it was my first interview ever, so it was I'm sure I made some stumbles along the way, but he answered every question and was very nice to me. And I got to do some on-camera stuff with MLL guys, spent a lot of time down in Long Island with the Lizards, and great organization they were, and how nice they were to everyone, and the players were fantastic. I mean, they always talked about hockey players being the best, but lacrosse players are right up with them, in terms of taking the time to talk to the fans, talk to the media. For the vast majority of them, do such a great job in trying to spread, spread the game, spread the sport, spread the league. So that's really where I got into my writing, and I continued with their affiliate at Syracuse. And from there, I did a little bit, blog stuff for Inside Lacrosse, during my year abroad back in Boston, as like kind of a side job, and took a year off and then went and worked for Nunes, and actually wrote a little bit for Marissa's site, in Lacrosse We Trust there. So yeah, it was paid at one point, and now it's just a really time consuming hobby. So
yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, but that, I mean, that's basically how I got into it, and it definitely, it helped me improve my writing as an attorney, even though it's a completely different style, but it was definitely an important thing for me to do.
It gets you used to people saying harsh things about your writing, it just in terms of like a judge saying the same thing in an opinion. So
that's right. And there's no jury and no witness you can be questioning that will be tougher than asking John Desco a question after a loss. So
so I wanted to get into Troy Nuez next. Did you just see the blog and reach out to them, or did somebody who was already writing say, hey, maybe you'd be interested in it, given your writing background or, writing activities while an undergrad?
So, Nunes Magician is like it's named for Troy Nunes, who was a quarterback with Syracuse back in the 90s, and he made this incredible, throw, and you know, the announcers heard on the television going, wow, Troy Nunes is an absolute magician. So that's where the name comes from. But
I think you broke, not broke news, but that's a lot of people were wondering about. I was, so.
I think it was, there was an article, someone wrote a blog on it maybe like a decade ago just explaining it. But it's, yeah, it's not very well known as to why, you know, the blog's named that. But there was the guy who started it and who ran it for so many years, Sean Keeley, was a tremendous, is a tremendous writer. The way he incorporated comedy into all his blogs, it was by far the most read, you know, Syracuse-related blog or internet site out there for a long time. Everybody knew it in college. It was wildly popular. And he did such a great job with it. And, you know, someone in law school, I think, mentioned to me they were looking for a lacrosse person. You know, why don't you get back into it? And, yeah, at that point, I was bartending and work and like in law school part time. So I overloaded on credit. So I had some time in the spring semester and just, you know, sent an email to him and my resume and was like, here's a sample. And that's how we got started. But he ran it for, up until about 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. And was just, I can't express, you know, he'd read his blogs and he'd just be laughing. Like, you know, the references and the things he'd come up with were just incredible. So it was definitely a loss to lose him. And, you know, he left behind what he created, which is a tremendous place for Syracuse fans to go. But I think John Cassillo has done a really great job in, you know, keeping that theme up of a lighthearted Syracuse fan base and blog. And he's done a very good job in his year and a half or so, as head man. So that's how I got into that. But
yeah, I don't know. Sean's a great guy. I mean, I give him a lot of grief cause he, sometimes goes too hard on Jersey, even though he's from Jersey, but, he is absolutely one of the funniest guys. I think he birthed this blog as well, or at least, helped, Hoya and the original cross guy get on here. So shout out to him. He might actually listen to this pod given all the love that we're giving him right now. So hopefully I'm going to tweet that out just to get him his attention as well.
All the clicks count, man.
So after so you went straight into lacrosse with Troy, or did you have other writing duties, or did you always want to do lacrosse for them? I just enjoy all your writing, so I didn't know if you did other stuff, you know, besides lax when you first started.
Yeah, no, they kept me the hell away from everything else. I mean I love watching football, and you know, I couldn't write the way some of those kids do about football, though. I, you know, it's not my thing. Basketball is something I watch, but, you know, I'm not watching every game. I'm more of a hockey, you know, lacrosse guy. So I just don't have the knowledge base, to be quite frank, when it comes to those other sports, in terms of X's, O's, you know, plays. Cassillo does a tremendous job in terms of breaking down Syracuse football and some of the other guys we have on staff. So I'm just not the guy for that at all, but definitely have the lacrosse background. So that's really the only thing I wanted to do and the only thing they wanted me to do, which was perfectly fine. So
yeah, their masthead looks like, you know, the end credits of a Marvel movie. You know, just, they got so many soldiers on deck over there. So,
yeah.
But yeah, they're all excellent writers. I mean, I really enjoy John's stuff. And, you know, I don't know anyone as well as I know you, but, you know, obviously I love your work. So, you know, so it's a really good site.
Yeah, were you right? So you were writing under Hoya Sucks, all right?
Yeah, it was so funny. I think I mentioned it a little bit before at one of our very first pods with Ryan, where it was just me and him. But I was just like kind of, you know, I was always following him, you know, the college cross I found in, like, I guess 2012 or 2013. So I was reading them. And then, you know, the Hopkins, Maryland thing kind of like, or Hopkins of the Big Ten whisper started coming around. So I started like doing research, feeding stuff to Hoya. And then he, you know, but he had a whole great series about that. And then I just thought, I was like, oh, you know, I reached out to, you know, those guys like Matt Brown and Luke Zimmerman, because they have their site. You know, if you're interested in writing, let us know. So I hit up Matt, And I was just like, hey, you know, really love SB Nation. You know, I really think you guys need a Hopkins site. I was like, yes, they only have lacrosse, but I was like, you know, I think we could grow it. And then he so kindly and graciously was like, nah, but like, how about you do this site where we have lacrosse already going? And it was really gracious, both him and Luke. So they kind of like pushed up. Pretty much hoisted me onto Hoya, and they're like, you know, this kid, he looks like he may be able to help. So I, you know, kind of knew Hoya just by interacting on Twitter, and obviously Ryan as well. So I just got in there and I just did like kind of a Philly beat and like two posts a week, and then for the 2015 season, and you know, hopped me to the Final Four that year, which was great. I didn't know about like, you know, press access, because it would have been cool. Like you were talking about, like, you know, in the press box, there's no cheering. And I went to the 2016 Final Four in Philly, but I was like, if I was in the press box in 2015, there would definitely be cheering on me in all my section. Especially that Hopkins Maryland game, I would have been going nuts. I would have been wearing blue. I would have probably, you know, like, any glaring, I'd be like, what? What about it? Like, so. But it's always fun. You know, it's really fun. You're exactly right. Like, it's a lot of work, but it's so much fun to, like, you know, just be in the mix. And, like, Troy is, you know, it's a major site. So, you know, just for you to be involved in that, it's, you know, definitely an accomplishment.
Yeah, you know, at the end of every season, I think every season, I'm like, all right, this might be, you know, I really got to think about this again. And then, you know, fall starts rolling around. I'm just like, F it, we'll do one more.
Run it back. Exactly. It's like Brett Favre, where he was always retired, and then he's like, you know, right around August, I just get that feeling. And then he's back. So.
That's all right. That's right. Now, you guys have done a great job of the site and really expanded it, I think, to a broader audience for sure, and have some really great writers over there right now.
No, it's fun. I mean, especially some of the new guys we have. Chris is obviously a marvel. He there was a Syracuse connection when he came on. Like, he just sent me a Vine of one of the Syracuse players. Like, I always forget the name, but he was like doing the whip, the dance after scoring a goal. And he was doing the dab. And then he sent me a Vine where with the song "Look at My Dab," and I was like, who is this kid? I knew I had to have him on the squad. But
yeah, absolutely.
So great, yeah, no, Chris is amazing. He's you know, so this is officially the Hire Chris 2018 campaign that we kicked off in January, because we need him to get on Comcast Sportsnet or something.
That's right, yeah.
So obviously you're talking a little bit about law. So I actually didn't know that you also went to I'm assuming you went to Syracuse as well, because you're saying you spent, you know, more time than the 4 years. So did I get that right? Did you go to Syracuse for law or somewhere else? Or
yeah, no, it was SU. It was I don't know about you, but I had no idea what was, you know, to come in the law school, like, application process. And so I applied to like 20 something schools, just, you know, spread wide. And I really wanted to go to Denver and DU out there. And I think partially because, you know, I knew of a lacrosse team, and that got me sort of interested in it. And then, you know, they said no. So I ended up in Syracuse, and, you know, perfectly happy with that. I just never expected to be back there for another tour of duty. But
I was just going to say, so a little bit about law years. How was it? I know we've both been in the war, so it is rough. But I always felt like, you know, once you're done that first year, you kind of get a little bit of a knack for it. It's still difficult, obviously. But I don't know if that was similar with you, or maybe your first year was great and you didn't, you know, didn't even have any worries that time either.
I had a great crew of kids. My law school year, like, we had just a great class. And, you know, first year was a lot of fun, and it was the first time I, like, actually decided to live alone. And, you know, you do the library time, and you get everything done, and you go out afterwards and whatnot. And it was great right up until, I'd say, about December, right before exams, the week, the week you have all your review, you know, classes and whatnot. And that weekend, I had taken home the wrong girl who was sick, and I got sick myself and ended up with pneumonia in the hospital for 3 days.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, I did all my exams. And so I had to stay for winter break in Syracuse. And it was me and the janitor in the law school alone for 3 weeks. And I just studied and took exams during break. And it was excruciating. I mean, like, first of all, I think the law school has a ghost. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm fairly certain there. But, you know, you're alone and you're studying like that nonstop. I guess it was a little prep for a bar exam, but that was one of the worst times of my life. But, you know, I did get to skateboard down the hallway a little bit and, you know, have a little bit of fun. But first year was good other than that. Then I moved in with some guys and ended up in, you know, with a really great group second and third year. So I had a great law school experience. I wasn't full time the entire time just because I overloaded with credits and, you know, wanted to be done with it. But yeah, it was a very enjoyable experience. I didn't hate it like I think a lot of kids do. But that was just me. So
no,
sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
The worst was that bar prep though. That was, I moved in with a kid and, you know, just for 2 or 2.5 months, I took a 2.5 month lease street over from where I was living and I moved in there. And this kid was just he couldn't have been more opposite me than anyone you could find. And it was a nightmarish experience. So I'm very, very, was very glad to be done with that. But otherwise, really enjoyed it, had a great time. And, you know, the summers up there are so nice. So when you go through this hellish winter and then, you know, everyone leaves school, I never understood why. It's just, you did that and you might as well enjoy the summer up there, the lakes and the sun. Ugh, it's tremendous. So
I always tell people, like, I agree with you, especially bar prep stuff, extremely stressful. But I always say you always have a trump card for whatever thing someone invites you to and you don't want to go, or you just want to, you have something and you need to leave. All you have to say, oh man, I got to study, you know, bar's coming up. And people would just like shove you out the door. They're like, get out of here. Yeah, of course. You know, you can get out of anything. Weddings you don't want to go to, any family dinners, you can just, oh man, mom, I'm sorry, I can't go. I got to study. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry to bother you, you know. Yeah, then they're apologizing to you for
actually, my best friend had his engagement party the week before the bar exam, and they were driving from St. Louis back to Boston, and they stopped, him and her and her whole family stopped at like Dunkin' Donuts in Syracuse to like say hi and like have a coffee and meet. And I don't know what I looked like at the time, but it could not have been positive. Like, he left and texted me afterwards. And he was like, are you all right? Like, I don't know. I saw a girl like a couple of weeks prior to the exam. I was walking down the street because, you know, you get out, do your note cards. And I used to do flashcards while I was walking around the street just to get outside. And this girl like pulled up, someone I knew in college and knew well enough that I should have known who it was. And she just pulled up next to me and she's like, Jimmy? And I was like, yeah. She's like, how are you doing? And I'm looking at her. I have no idea who you are because my brain is just completely full of nonsense. Like, it was one of the more embarrassing moments. So.
Unless it's about an ABC company selling widgets, you're really like, you're not really, your head's not right when you're studying for the bar.
That's right. You know, you either know him from Blackacre or you don't know him at all. Yeah. You know?
Exactly. It's like, listen, unless you're talking like contracts right now, we really don't have anything to discuss. So I'm gonna do a little rapid fire Boston questions. So sure. You can obviously take more time, but I'll just give you the heads up for this section. So, best place or your favorite place to eat when you're in the city?
Fours. It's not even close. They have the best. Buff Chicks nachos are the most incredible thing you'll ever have. I actually offered a guy $80 one time to buy his nachos off of him because the kitchen was closed.
Oh, that tells me I need to hit that place up. So
right across from the garden. So if you ever, you know, if you're ever in town, hit them up.
Okay. Favorite Boston movie? It doesn't have to be exactly about the city, but, you know, something set in the city. We can even use that.
It's my favorite movie of all time, and it's Good Will Hunting.
Oh, that's a classic. No, it was one. I thought maybe you would go with that, but I didn't know for sure. We'll dive into that one. What's your favorite scene in Good Will Hunting?
You know, there's actually a scene I've written three papers in college for, but
oh, really? Well, let's get to that first, and then we'll get to your favorite one.
It's the scene where they're in kind of the construction area, and they're having beers at lunch, and you know, Matt Damon's like, I'm never leaving here. And Ben Affleck's like, let me tell you something. If you're here in 10 years and, you know, we're driving our kids to Foley Field and you're coming over for Patriots games, I'll fucking kill you.
we gotta believe that one. But
I mean, it's a quote, you know?
I'm going to argue with Ryan that we need to leave it in there just for the authenticity.
So that's the scene. I was one of my majors was communications and rhetorical studies, which there's a really nice article in the Daily Orange about how that's an athlete major. But we did a lot of, like, interpretation of movement, you know, understanding people's reactions and you know, how to argue and persuasive, you know, language. And it actually helped me out later on in life pretty well, but it was often called a BS major. And for a lot of people, I think it was, but that's the scene I wrote three papers on. So.
Oh, so what's your favorite scene? If that, maybe that was it as well.
It's definitely one of the scenes from the therapist's office with, Jesus, what's his name? The comedian.
Robin.
I'm sorry?
Robin, right? Robin Williams?
Yeah, Robin Williams. It's either the one where he grabs his throat and...
Oh, it's a chokehold one? Oh, yeah. I just like how he calmly takes his glasses off.
It's either that or the one where he's telling him about how his wife fights at night, so...
Yeah, for sure. I think my favorite is it's actually right in the beginning, the fight scene where they're yelling at Casey and they're like, if you don't get out of the car in 3 seconds, we're going to beat you up after we beat them up.
But we got snacks now.
Like, come on. We should have done it before. We got the food.
That's right.
Low key, the fourth friend, and I feel horrible not remembering his name. I think he was in that Vin Diesel movie where it's in the – you know, where everything's dark and Vin can see in the light. But he's, like, low-key one of the my favorite guys, even though he doesn't have that many scenes.
Is that Riddick?
What's up?
Riddick? Is that the movie?
Yes, Riddick, exactly. The I guess ostensibly he's the bad guy in Riddick, but the guy who Vin, like, kills at the very end, and spoiler alert for everyone, but I mean, that's was like 5 years old.
See it by now, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You haven't seen it by now. See, it's all... Okay, next one. Favorite Boston historical monument.
I spent a ton of time in Charlestown. Actually, if you watch the town, Ben Affleck's house is the next door neighbor of my best friend. So I spent a lot of nights on that floor. So definitely Charlestown and the monument there. And it basically is a mini version of George Washington Monument, but it's, you know, it's Bunker Hill, and you can walk up the entire, you know, flights of stairs and go to the top and look. But I'm pretty sure this is accurate, but I'm pretty sure that that's actually not where the battle occurred. It was actually on, I can't remember the real hill, but it was, you know, not too far away, but they put the monument there for whatever reason. So,
okay, next one. Fenway or Boston Garden? Which, I don't know, maybe your favorite, or what do you think is, like, the most important to the city? I guess that's a pretty easy answer.
Yeah, I may be a nut, but I don't like – I mean, you know, Fenway Park is, like, great for historical purposes and whatnot. But if you're over 6 feet tall, which I am, and you sit in those seats, it's a nightmare. Man, it is a nightmare. Your knees are hurting by the end. Like, you're probably not even facing the field because most of the seats are facing either other stands or right field. And it's just – I'm not the biggest fan of it. I go to all these other ballparks, and, like, Nats Field is – stadium is, you know, across the river from me. It's 5 minutes. and it's fantastic. You know, like the setup there is great. The views are all great. You've got plenty of room. Same with up in Baltimore, Camden Yards, just another really nice stadium. So to me, Fenway is just like, it's a historic site, but it's not a great place to watch a ball game. But I, you know, we did get to go to two World Series games, so that was fun. But
oh wow,
yeah, I'd never really spent much time in Boston Garden. A little bit of the Commons, just because you walk through there a lot, but not so much the Garden.
Have you ever sat in like the wall seats? You know, I don't know how. I guess that was within the last 10 years, right? Or,
No, they were 2006. Just about 10 years, I guess. You know, I went to the 2003 World Series Game One. My cousin worked for the Red Sox for like 10 years, and
oh wow,
so he, you know, he got all these tickets and whatnot, and you know, so I went to that one, and then 2007 rolled around, and I'm pledging. And I get a text, and it's from my cousin. He's like, tomorrow night, drive home. I got Green Monsters tickets. I forget.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, you got to be kidding. And I didn't even ask. I just assumed this was a no-go. So I didn't even ask if I could go. And you know, later on, I found out they would have let me, so they say. But I ended up watching the game while ironing someone's pants. So that was not as enjoyable.
Oh, man. That's almost as similar like Robin Williams, where he gives up the tickets for the girl. You're like, sorry, boys, I gotta iron some pants today.
That's right. Not as glamorous, for sure.
Okay, well, I'll stick with sports. There's only a couple more of these. More responsible for the Patriots run, Bill Belichick or Tom Brady?
So, interesting fact. I actually grew up with the Belichicks. And
wow.
Yeah. Steve and I were in the same class, and we lived down the street from each other for a little bit. And he's the one with the long hair who played a little bit at Rutgers. Mm-hmm. Lacrosse, and I think a little bit of football, but my most distinctive memory there was we were playing Belmont Hill. It was a JV game, our freshman year of high school. He was a defenseman, I was a goalie, and we let up a bad goal. It was a bad defensive play, bad goal all around. And I didn't see Bill there at all, but he must have snuck in somewhere along the way. Cause it's like kind of quiet down the defensive end, and you know, I've just got my hands on my knees, kind of like, you know, bent over a little bit. So you stand near me, and from behind, you just hear this voice, and it wasn't yelling, it wasn't like angry, it was just matter of fact and monotone, and he was just ripping us, like not bad, just telling us, you know, what we did wrong, and it was excruciating.
Like, oh man, I'm sure. Super Bowl champion telling you what to do, yeah.
So that was my favorite Bill moment. But yeah, I think it's Belichick 100%. I mean, to me, you take away Brady, you take away any of these players, and to me it doesn't matter. He's going to win. He might not win the Super Bowl every year, but he will find a way to win. It's just – it's so interesting to see what happened in Cleveland compared to what happened in New England, and the difference that a couple of years more with Parcells made. But, yeah, to me it's 100% Bill.
I agree. I mean, like, we've seen Bill succeed without Brady. You know, we've never seen it the other way, so – I agree with you. All right. Two movie ones to wrap up. Affleck or Damon? Who's your favorite actor? Or who do you prefer?
I prefer Damon, like 100%.
Mm.
Affleck originally I wasn't a huge fan of, and then kind of turned it around for me at some point. I don't know when, but it might have been The Town, to be honest. I mean, I loved that movie. It was fantastic. But, yeah, it's definitely Damon.
I, you know, they're both excellent. You know, I'm a partial to Affleck, but Damon's all right. I just like to have fun with David trying to start up a rivalry. And I guess that leads into the creme de la creme question: The Town or The Departed? Which one is the better Boston gangster flick?
It's not even close. It's The Town by a mile.
Thank you.
And you know what? Like, Departed's like good. It's entertaining, and I thought Leo was fantastic, but. What irked me so much, and I know I'm not alone in this, the accents that were used in The Departed were so bad. Like, Leo's was good. He kept it pretty light and, you know, pretty consistent. That therapist, there was one scene, they got out of the therapist's office when he left, like, in a huff, like, because she wouldn't give him any pills. Yeah,
exactly. So, what did I put myself through? That was the best scene in that movie, in my opinion.
She's like, why is the last patient of the day always the hottest? And then you never hear her drop an R again. And
exactly.
Like, oh, my God. That was, like, cringeworthy. But, yeah, I thought he was good. And then the kid who was the uncle on Grounded for Life, I liked him in that, too. But, yeah, it's the town by far. It's not even close.
I agree. And I love The Departed. When it first came out, I probably watched that movie 200 times. But the town, I mean, I just thought it was grimier. Like, Jeremy Renner was just a revelation in that movie. I mean, he got a Best Supporting Actor nomination. It was just,
and it's true. Like, it's, you know, not the Fenway part of it, but, like, the idea of what's going on, it's all true. Like, it happened. There was an era of tons of bank robberies, and, you know, so it's got a real theme. And there's a ton of Charlestown kids in it, you know, as extras, and some of them have speaking parts, but, like, The Departed is a Japanese flick, you know?
Infernal Affairs, right? Yeah, exactly. It's just a remake. The town is, like, a, you know, real one. But, Jim, this is fun. I mean, I know I didn't want to take too much of your time. This definitely is not going to help the people. This is not going to help my case for the people who say that I'm a closet Syracuse fan by interviewing you first for our college. But I greatly enjoyed it. You know, you're a great writer. You're obviously a great attorney and, you know, just a really good dude. So I'm really happy that we could do this.
I appreciate you having me on, man. It's been fun. Anytime.
No, excellent. Well, we'll definitely be having, like, large group ones again, but like I said, I just wanted to try to do single people out. Jack, if you're listening to this, you'll be on deck. We'll try to get you on as well. But Jim, this was a fantastic show. Really happy to have you on, and we'll try to get this up either tomorrow or you know, the next day.
Nice. So this will just be the teaser for my memoir, right?
Exactly. And everyone listening, thanks for joining us, and you know, have a great week.